A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at Schwabvious.com.
What's going on? Welcome to another episode of Degen Dads Podcast with your host, Kyle Wilson, and co-host and host of the Degen Dad Podcast, Chris Coffee in the house. What's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, man? GM, I'm great. This is like the first time that we've ran this dual broadcasted on Twitter and YouTube and not had a problem. So I'm feeling good about it. Yeah, you know, third time's a charm, or fifth time, or eighth time. And to my knowledge, I'm not a CryptoPunk right now. It looks pretty clear on my end. How about yours?
Yeah, it looks pretty clean. Can you guys hear now? Let me know in Twitter though if you can hear Chris as well. So I want to make sure.
Twitter for sure. They gave me some. They gave me some hearts.
On. All right, sweet. Because we got a lot of topics to talk about. We have Apple headset coming out. We have Web3 games. Maybe Amazon dropping their NFT marketplace. I don't know about that. We haven't seen any news around that. But we have also Ordinals, BRC20 tokens, Degen Dads Alpha on the podcast today. So a lot to get through. Chris, what's going on, man? What you been up to? What you looking at? And what's your thoughts on the Apple headset?
Bro, overrated, but I'll get to that in a second. yeah, dude, rocking the orange, you know, for the Ordinals and BRC20 Alpha that we've been pumping out. I've really been up to that, man. I work for Ninja Alert. It's a Web3 tool. Lots of really cool stuff around the corner. Well, we turned into an alpha group, as you know. I've seen you in there. And we had 200 applicants to volunteer to help run content, to help run alpha calls, whitelist collabs, and all that. The Discord's open. You know, I'm not going to like sit here and chill it. But if you're wondering what I've been up to, I've been, auditing 200 people, different phases of group interviews, individual interviews. And it's been so much fun because there's so much talent in this space, man. Like, I have people that are coming up like, yeah, you know, I have several businesses run, you know, a passive six-figure income, but I just really want to gain experience in Web3. So like, I'm doing this voluntarily. You know, it's just like crazy, man. Like, you know, it's so cool to see the energy and the experience from Web2 bringing it to Web3. And it's just made me incredibly bullish for the future of the space.
Yeah, no diggity, no doubt. I just put in chat a Ninja Alert Tours. Yeah. So if you're in the Alpha Discord, well, really how you get access to that is tell people how they can get access to that, first of all. I think in case somebody's interested in that, because they've already has been the OG Bit God in there. He absolutely went parabolic, went from 2K followers to over 100,000 followers in like 2 weeks, launched his own token, and has a couple NFTs out there now floating around doing some crazy raffles. And then Leonidas, another big Ordinal OG in there doing an AMA soon as well, this Sunday, I believe. Chris, how can people kind of get access to the alpha, to the Discord?
Sure. I've been trying to point everybody in a direction via Discord and Twitter, but just you can get to the official Discord through the at Ninja Alerts Twitter. And it's actually in my bio on my Twitter. If you want to make sure to click the right one. I think it's around like 25,000 followers. Just join the Discord, verify yourself. And we have like a ton of giveaways too. And that's just with our current like smaller team. Like I said, we had 200 applicants. So imagine the amount of giveaways we are about to have and the amount of things we're about to do. And as Kyle mentioned, we've already had BitGod as a speaker. I've actually recorded that, and I'm going to post that on the Ninja Lurch channel. And we've had Yudi already, and then we're going to have Leonidas. Some like really people that are leading the way in Ordinals. And we've also had, this all started with a free mint on Manifold. I minted like 30 or something like that. It's called Bitcoin Summer. And each of these guests, I didn't know this as somebody who's on the team. I wish I would have known it. But each of these guests that's been coming in, you've been able to burn that Bitcoin Summer to be able to get their specific NFT. So like I burned my Bitcoin Summer to get the Bit God one, which was like this image of like a frog with a crown on. And then I burnt more for the Leonidas one. Leonidas one's a 0.03 floor right now. I got it for free. And I got the last one for free. I burnt a few for that. I actually burnt a few, and then I still have some of my original ones. So wish I would have minted more, you know, of them on Manifold, but I didn't.
Dude, I was going to mint like literally hundreds of them for free, and I'm actually super sad I didn't. I was cheap, and I was like, I don't know. I unintentionally faded it because I was like, oh, I don't have enough ETH in my stuff or whatever. Let me see if I can switch this around. I don't know why. Anyways,
it's so tiny, bro.
Yeah, it's so tiny. I'm using this streaming software that's kind of cheap and whatever. But anyways, the point being is I was supposed to mint like a bunch of these for like literally like it was like a dollar, like in like a couple bucks in gas fee. And now like all this stuff's being worth like a bunch of money now. So
I'm in at 30 and I was like, you know, I'm in at 30. I feel pretty decent about that. I just paid the gas or whatever. And like my friend mint at 300. I was like, what? And he could have made like 3 ETH already. But he's still holding out like on a lot of it. I think he sold off some. By the way, I do want to highlight the chat. We got Pixel Trader in here, Green Goblin, Daniel, SoCal Homie. Justin said Chris went from dial-up internet to caught in 4K. Yeah, I'm so happy about that, bro. I guess I'm just gonna have to restart my internet right before we go live on Thursdays.
Yeah, so I showed a couple of images here on the screen. As you saw, like you
big looks cool, man.
Yeah, you can burn, and this one's the Leonidas on screen now, but you can burn these Bitcoin summer ones that you could originally got for free, and then you could have minted a bunch of them and, you know, just fade generational wealth on a day-to-day basis. No big deal. I saw Trevor's tweet to that, and I'm like, man, I can relate because I feel like I fade it like at least once per week, you know? And yeah.
My biggest regret on the BRC20 and ordinal side, but like one thing I wish I'd have done, I got really sick the day of OXBT. I still minted, but I knew being in the space for over 2 years, like all you have to do is just make multiple wallets and do multiple claims. I'm not even talking like on a huge level, but like just make like five wallets. It takes like 10 minutes. And I knew that, but I was so sick that day. And then Bitcoin is so slow, you know, like by the time you fund all these wallets, it takes like that block took forever. It took like an hour for that block to go through. So I couldn't do it. So I just did it off of one wallet, you know, and at the peak that was worth like $1,300. So like you have people like Trevor that had 20 wallets, you know, you can do the math of like how easy that was for him. Now, I don't know if he's holding, I know he's still holding. Surely he's still holding some because he's a big believer in OXBT, as you know, Kyle. And like the reason like I'm so bullish on BRC20s is because like you just compare the market cap to like ETH and like the little exposure it has and like how big the market cap of Bitcoin is. Like it just makes sense that if BRC20s do become a thing and like they are here to stay, like how easy it will be for money to flow into them.
Yeah. I mean, just with what Gary Gensler is doing too, and the way BRC20 is launched. So Gary, obviously, like, you know, going around Sue Happy, everything's a security, but Bitcoin, like that's one thing that they don't have is Bitcoin. And they probably at this point won't, in my opinion, they won't deem it a security. But the way BRC20s are launched for the most part is either it's anonymous. Good luck trying to sue an anon. Or number two, it's a fair launch and they're completely decentralized and free. So they're not necessarily even a token sale at all. It's just like this digital currency floating off into the ether and people are the one that assign the value to it. So again, in that instance, it would be super hard to charge literally anybody doing that. And I think it's on Bitcoin. I don't think you can make a case. Even Gary Gensler even said Bitcoin is so decentralized that there's nothing you can really do about that. Like it's so decentralized. You can't sue. Just who are you going to sue? Nobody. I mean, it's just out there. So there's a lot of like protections and safeguards in place there. But at the same time, you don't want to be minting if you're a Dox person or like minting out a token and doing some kind of like token launch because you probably will get hit. So be careful in terms of that. You know, you always want to abide by the law and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm super pumped about it too. I minted BOXBT five times, I think. Five times. So I got a couple of mints there and just kind of hold it.
Are you holding any still?
So yeah, I'm holding four of the mints and then I sold one of the mints. So I think that was like 5K or 5,000 tokens. Mm-hmm. And I was able to buy another ordinal with it. So super excited about that. So it's one of those things where you're using opportunities for more opportunities. So that's what I did. Yeah.
There's so much opportunity here. Somebody was NFT God. He's a NFT influencer on Twitter. And he was interrogating, which I like his content. He was interrogating Yudi and said, like, why do people care about ordinals, about BRC20s? And there's just so, like, Yudi's answer was essentially there's just so much room to build because the liquidity is already here. It's not like you're launching this new I almost forgot if your name was Doctor or not. You're not launching this Kyle Wilson token, you know. It'd have been really funny if you didn't go by that.
Kyle Coffee.
I don't go by my last name, but if you're launching this like Kyle Wilson token and then like hoping to build a bunch of really cool stuff, like you're still like hoping that liquidity comes over, right? If like people were to build protocols and were to build other tokens, all this stuff, that's not the case with Bitcoin. Bitcoin has all the liquidity and more to build really cool stuff. Now it's a matter of actually doing it. So it just makes sense as like builder, as a creator, as whatever. Like it's obviously there's like always some type of financial incentive underlying for everything in the space. But more than that, like just from like without not even like investing, but like or like let's say investing your time or your creativity or your experience, like it makes sense that people are jumping on this because some people are going to use it as a fad, you know, the little square, orange square or whatever. And some people are doing it for the hype, but it really clicked for me and made sense. You know, I was covering this under 10,000 ordinals. Trevor told us about it on Spaces under 1,000 ordinals, and I faded him so hard. I was like, that what is that? You know, it's a fake ETH NFT or whatever. But like, it's making so much more sense as time goes on, and that's why I'm like really bullish about the future of ordinals and BRC20s.
Yeah, absolutely. We got some comments coming in. Dan, with Apple and Disney partnership, will Disney pull Vivi along for Apple Vision Pro? Pepe on BRC20 be profitable like ERC20? Should Vivi exit Ethereum for BTC? So I don't think Vivi's going to do that, but I do think it's a good strategy. I'll answer this one, Chris, and I'll let you answer maybe the other two. But for this question, I don't think Vivi's going to do that. They're already on Mutable X, but I do think it's a good strategy for brands in general, like the big ones, to integrate this into their overall brand strategy. Like we've already seen it with, I think Budweiser did it with beer, you know, controversy around them right now, but other brands that have like done this similar like, thing.
9 billion around that controversy, something like that.
Yeah, I think so. But they did like Web3 stuff. They the regular Budweiser, not the like the Bud Light, but the Budweiser account changed their art to an NFT, an artist that did some NFTs. So I could see that definitely being a good strategy, especially there's a lot of money on Bitcoin. It's double the market cap and then some of Ethereum. So
I just want to say that I hated Budweiser or Bud Light, whatever it was, before it was the cool thing to do. Cause to me, they were like the McCafe of beer. They suck. You shouldn't drink it. And I've always hated it since I first tried it. So that was also a shot at Kyle because this man's caught drinking some gross coffee. McCafe coffee on caught on live. We do have I got this little breaking sound effect, but it's not so breaking, but I'm going to use it anyways.
So good. I'm drinking coffee for people on Twitter.
Did you hear that? Is it breaking enough? I don't know if you saw, but Memeland is actually doing exactly what we just said. Memeland being a very large project on ETH, something I faded at the absolute bottom.
But will Pepe ERC20 be worth it?
Kyle, I faded. I had a mint for Memeland. Minted for 1.2 ETH. I sold for like 4.5 or 4.8 ETH. It's at like 9 or 10 ETH now. And they just announced that they're going to launch ERC20 and BRC20 tokens. And I think they're going to do something in the ordinal space as well. So Memeland, as in like potatoes, when I say I minted Memeland, I minted captains. So captains, potatoes.
Yeah, it was like generational wealth or something like that.
Yeah, I basically faded.
You didn't tell your
generational wealth in my hand.
Yeah, but you didn't tell your friend, you know, Kyle here. You just let him, you know, you didn't give him the alpha on that one.
Bro, last time I asked you for alpha, you're like, you should have just been watching my videos. So don't give me that. I'm sure somewhere alpha, along the way, I told people that they should try to get on that captain's meme list. Which, speaking of right now, what I'm telling you is you should go hop in the Ninja Alerts Discord because there's a bunch of free giveaways there. For ordinals, I just got one yesterday. I actually got one from, shout out to NFT Nate. He got me one of those ordinal geese. I don't know if you saw those. They're kind of cool.
Yeah,
it's like a very like crypto. I don't even know what they're at. I think they're around floor, but I liked it. We got Cryptoverse saying, "What's up, guys?" I just want to give a shout out to Cryptoverse because he was also in the he's on the Twitter Spaces as well. So I guess he hopped over
from Spaces. Like, share, tweet, subscribe, smiles. Thank you
to see this orange. I don't want to
wait. You went off on a tangent. Will Pepe on BRC20 be profitable like ERC20? It says Stan from
tangent. Will Pepe be profitable? I don't know. I've always like wondered about that type of stuff. I'm still kind of with you. Like, I feel like it still doesn't make sense to me that not the original Pepe was the one to pump to the moon. Like, where the original Pepe was like OG Pepe or Pepe Coin. Wasn't that it? Or
yeah, Pepe Coin. Yeah.
Pepe Coin was the original Pepe. So I don't know why that never really got the love that it deserved. But this like ERC-20 version of Pepe.
It's an inside job.
They're both ERC-20s, right? Like OG Pepe's or Pepe Coin's ERC-20 as well.
Actually, Pepe Coin, I think they developed on Counterparty, which is like a Bitcoin type of deal. I don't know. It's like I think they were always on Ethereum. Or I think they was like, I don't know. It's like they got hit so much history. I don't even know. Like they developed their own blockchain and did all kinds of crazy stuff and their own layer two. And I mean, these guys were like OG. Like, yeah, they predated like Ethereum smart contracts. Like it's like that crazy OG.
I kind of want to scoop some of that up once. Well, I don't know, man. This has been a crazy week with the SEC pressing down on Binance and Coinbase, and also heard there's speculation about them coming after another big platform. I'm assuming crypto.com. Just another warning to everybody listening to this right now, too. If you have money, a lot of money sitting on exchanges, it's probably best to get it to a hard wallet. Also, I'm reducing in connection again. Now is a good time to remind you that these are broadcasted as a YouTube podcast. So more than just like watching on screen, you can just like go listen in later. And hopefully, you know, that becomes a thing. Chris is an ordinal goose. But should I show my ordinal goose? Can you show my ordinal goose? You got better connection than I do.
No. I posted it yesterday. Yeah, I can show it.
Show my bag.
Oh, you're going to make me go find it?
Well, yeah.
We got to backtrack here. We have questions.
While you find my
goose. But I'll get to the goose. Right. Stan says, with the Apple and Disney partnership, will Disney pull Vivi along for the Apple Vision Pro? It's a good question.
So I think directly, I mean, I can't say no, but I would assume no. But I think indirectly, absolutely. Like, I just think that AR and VR experience is very bullish for a company whose like primary focus is AR and VR technology. So like, to me, it's like inevitable that if they succeed, like if like with any type of VR and AR innovation, that it would be beneficial to Vivi to have that. So, I mean, like, will it pull Vivi along? Like, sure. In the aspect of like, will they announce? I'm not big on like speculating if, you know, they're going to announce a direct partnership, or I know some people are saying the VV100, or I'm more of sell the news or sell the rumor on that kind of stuff. But as far as like, again, like the it being a byproduct, you pulled up my ordinal geese. Ordinal goose. Now, isn't that like the best thing you've seen on your feed?
It looks like you, like side by side, seeing it like next to you, you look exactly like the ordinal goose. Like you're pixelated.
Dude, right?
You're wearing hats.
I'm going to pin this to the Twitter space so the Twitter space can see my goose as well.
Like,
and we are live on cunning on YouTube.
Yeah, it's the comparison. It's just spot on. I mean, yeah. Couldn't have done it better. But,
I wore a top hat for this. For this podcast so that I could really imagine.
So my thoughts on the Apple AR or the headset rather is that it's not up to Apple to pump anything. They're not going to, neither. I don't think Disney is going to be like airing out like NFTs anytime. They might tweet about it, which we've seen before, but I don't know. Just, I think they're going to wait for like sentiment to change a little bit. You know, before you see these like major tech companies like push narratives. Because we've seen Meta, they had a backtrack. But I still think Web3 is the future. I just think that it's going to happen like unbroadcasted. I think it's going to like, we're already seeing it, obviously. Like we're seeing it in Web3 games. We're seeing it in like every form of entertainment out there. So I think that's going to happen more, you know, organically than not. Versus like, are these tech companies going to pump my bags versus that, you know?
Sure. Look, at the end of the day, it's clear as mud. The Apple Vision Pro looks cool, but it doesn't look like worth $3,500. Like I have a Quest, okay? Like I have an Oculus Quest, and not even the Quest 2. I have a Quest, and it looks like it can do 95% of what this new Apple headset that's $3,500 can do. So like I think it looks really cool, and I like that you can like see like 4K in each of your eyeballs. Like that's cool and all, but I don't understand. I really think it's like... I just overhyped. They had a really good presentation, a really good marketing, and a lot of people talked about it. You know, they obviously ran the hashtag WW blah, 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 that me and you both used on Twitter. They sponsored that. And then people wanted to be able to use that hashtag for clout. Like, they got a ton of views. They got a ton of YouTube coverage. So, like, to me, like, the marketing and the delivery was, like, flawless. But, like, the headset itself, it looks cool. But, like, I was hoping for something a little less bulky, something a little bit more different than what we already have. And dude, that like see-through mode where like you're just chilling and you like want people to like see your eyes, like that's weird. That's so weird, man. Like I don't want to be sitting next to somebody when they're just chilling with that thing on, looking at me with their bug eyes. Like it's just not something that like, I don't know, bro. Like it's like a dystopia to me. Like just give us some glasses or something. Don't give us this weird bulky thing where you can see through it and see if somebody's looking at you or not.
So that's, yeah, I saw Marquise Brownlee. He did the video on that. He's like, if you're on a plane and the flight attendant's like walking up to you, you're like, hey, bro, what do you want to drink? And you're wearing the headset and your eyeballs just all of a sudden go from immersive mode to like you're just looking at, like, how creepy is that? It's just like, hello, Clarice. It's like creepy, it's super like, creepy. So
I don't want to be caught like,
I know, that's not going to stop me. Like, yeah, I'm not going to be like stopped by the creepiness. Like, if I'm going to be using it, it's not going to be on a plane. Like, I don't want people to see me looking around like a complete like idiot around the plane. Like, I'm like immersed, bro. Like, I might, maybe if everybody else is doing it, maybe then. But then again, it's like, I don't know if I want a bulky headset on an airplane, but I will do that at home. That,
bro. Like, I don't care. I don't care if every other human in the world is wearing that thing with their big eyes looking at me. I'm not wearing that headset when I'm like in public. That shit. I will not conform.
Next topic real quick. We'll get back to the VR, the headset topic, because we got some pretty cool stuff to feature.
Yeah, that was like 2 days ago.
Look at this. Warner Brothers is doing early access to the Superman Web 3 movie experience. So I saw they sent out some emails, tweets, and all that cool stuff. So, you know, if you are holding a Batcowl, a DC3, or Lord of the Rings, which we covered on the channel, and got to mint live and things like that, then you would have got a email from DC about that. So
sure.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, I got it. I got it this morning.
If you're cool. A fan.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, if you're into that branded stuff, kind of like utility. I mean, it's as far as really brands can do currently. You know, the space is just so, you know, it's Gary Gensler's breathing down everybody's necks. So, sure. But this is cool to see some sort of utility from big brands. They're not DAOs, so they are like probably restricted to what they can and can't do. But it is nice to see cool stuff like that. I got another piece of big news.
I have a comment on that. So yeah. I got the email this morning from holding a Batcowl that I got the Superman Web 3 experience or movie experience, which I think is cool. I think the biggest takeaway from that is that brands cross promote their own IP with other platforms. Like, I think that's a cool, unique way to like execute like NFTs, because it doesn't necessarily have to be like from the same company, which this isn't the first time we saw that, but like just having that aspect of, oh, my Batcowl that I bought from Palm is now giving me some sort of pre-sale utility, whitelist, whatever you want to call it, to this Web3 movie experience. Did I buy the Superman movie? Yeah. I did not. I'm not a huge Superman fan. Honestly, like it's cool. It's a classic, but it's like, I'm not a big enough fan to drop $100, whatever it is, on a movie to be able to experience that. And I wouldn't, even the Lord of the Rings thing, which I do like Lord of the Rings. To me, like both of those weren't really like, for some people they might be, but for me, those were just kind of like you pay for the experience. You know, I wouldn't really personally look at that as an investment. Like, oh, if I buy this, maybe I can resell this experience. Like, to me, it was just like, I have early access to this experience. And I don't know. It's like kind of like the stage.
I know. I was kind of hoping we'd have like hard NFT assets to kind of be able to resell. You can resell a little bit other stuff. They had a little collectible stuff in there, but it wasn't like what we kind of would expect in the macro sense of NFTs. Like,
they need to do better at that. They need to offer these Web3 viewing experiences and really tie in some NFTs that you can take off of that experience if maybe you're the first person to watch it, and then be able to, the market can then decide, you know, if that Superman cape is valuable or not. That way, like, it kind of gives people an incentive to buy the movie experience, because it's like, hey, I'm totally. Maybe there's something really cool in this, you know, a really cool NFT in this movie experience. And maybe that NFT that's in the movie experience, maybe that will have its own utility in the future. Like, I think that would be cool.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like little artifacts or like Clark Kent's glasses, like, or I don't know, something just like ridiculous. I don't know, something cool, something fandomish.
Like
turn around and resell.
Taking it back to our other conversation, like, all right, I bought a Batcowl, which unlocked this Web3 Superman experience for me. I watched the movie. I got Clark Kent's glasses from the movie. And let's fast forward a year in the future. Like, now the Apple headsets are like taking over, blah, blah, blah. Like, I can now like wear Clark Kent's glasses in the metaverse at like on my avatar. You know, and it's very like have some type of an identification process to be able to see like, oh, only like 500 of those glasses ever existed. And it was just the first people to watch the movie. Like, I could see how all that could play out.
We got so much news to cover. Let's move on to the next one here. Sorry to cut you off there. But what's your thoughts, Chris? Because we, you know, on Twitter, we got Web3 Games. So we got to talk about it. We got to talk about Todd McFarlane or the McFarlane Toys, rather. In the physical sense, signing Blizzard Entertainment, a gaming company, one of the biggest gaming companies in the entire world. Now, obviously, McFarlane owns a McFarlane Digital, which is a NFT platform. They already support, you know, self-custody and things like that. And from based on what Trevor has said, you know, they're going to be able to be viewable in like the Apple AR headset or VR XR headset, whatever. And so kind of exciting stuff here. Do you think this could play into the future for the McFarlane Digital? What's your thoughts on this partnership?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like McFarlane Toys, the brand itself is the one that's digital, you know? So I don't even think it's like a far stretch, you know, like it'd be different if like McFarlane owned like another company, you know, and then like maybe we could speculate if he's going to bring the assets to that company. But like McFarlane Toys is like literally a physical and digital. Like to me, it's like the same, it's under the same umbrella. Like you can go to the same website, right? And like see Blizzard and then see NFTs. So like, I absolutely think that this will play into the digital as well. I just don't know how. And I'm excited to see it. You know, I think overall things have been slow for McFarlane Toys as far as like maybe like waiting for them to deliver information or waiting for them to like get the next new thing. Cause like they had like Spawn and then they had some physical announcements at one of the cons. So I kind of been waiting for them to drop some heat for a while. So, I think that this could definitely be it.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, this is like the biggest titles. I mean, you're talking about Diablo, which is super hot right now. Like it's like the biggest game out currently right now. Like it's so much hype going on around Diablo. It's one of the OG titles in the space in gaming. You have World of Warcraft, upcoming World of Warcraft, Arclight Rumble franchises. So to me, this is really a big signing for the physical side. So I do hope that one day they'll get the digital side of that. You know, obviously they're pushing that in terms of the digital side. So yeah, like you said, maybe they'll release something here pretty soon. Also, you can see, I don't know if you saw this, Chris. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Is I don't know if you saw, if you're like big into tracking a lot of these Web3 games, but Star Atlas has a VR mode as well. Now it's not like public or anything, but it is cool to see like Web3 games like implement again VR into, now of course this is not even out beta or anything like that, so of course it's going to be rudimentary graphics that we're looking at on stream, but at the same time you can see some high quality that we're looking at here inside the spaceship. I don't know. I think this is pretty cool. What's your thoughts on like using headsets in some of these games?
I don't know, man. Like personally, I'm more of like a group VR person. Like I like to like show people the experience, you know, play like games against each other. I've never been a fan of just like sitting down with my headset and just playing a game for hours. I get dizzy and like I just don't really enjoy it as much. I don't know what it is. It's like it takes more energy, you know. It's like I feel like I'm playing like the Wii, but I'm like forced to use the controllers motion wise, you know, instead of being able to opt for like the controller buttons. So it's like when I play video games, which is very rare nowadays, I just want to like veg out, bro. Like I don't want to like sit there and like put on this headset and, you know, do this experience. Personally,
what games, like, it's not my thing. Yeah, what games do you play? What games are your like your go-tos?
Bro, right, well, I mean, right now, like I'm not playing a lot at all, but like I was a huge like Call of Duty person. which that required like obviously a little bit more effort. Rocket League, I was champ 2 in Rocket League. Played competitive. I was right now. I just play like phone games, like Clash of Clans. I play a little bit of Pirate Nation, which is a Web 3 game, but that's a little bit more rare right now. Just stuff like that. So like, I'm not really playing. I haven't played a game other than my phone, like Clash of Clans, in like 2 weeks at least, just because it's been insanely busy.
Yeah, totally. I've been playing a couple of games, you know, Rumble Kongs. They just added like a little mini game that they just put out. Star Allies.
Yo, shout out to Block, by the way. He's in the Twitter Spaces right now. I don't know if you saw.
Yeah. Shout out to Block for the connects there and the hookups.
Yeah, I still need to play it. Block sent one to for us to for me to be able to play. I haven't got around to it yet.
Yeah, so far I've gotten a 36 high score, and today I'm gonna go again. It's totally free to play, and I think you get like the higher the score you know if you rank in the top leaderboard, I think you get something like cool or something. I don't know exact the details, but I've been trying to get better at it every day so I can, you know, win something. That's a neat project because like a lot of these Web3 projects don't have anything behind it, you know, and it's cool to see like, you know, games launching, like even if it's just a mini game, because it's kind of setting up for the next phase of that franchise or that game or that platform. Like we're seeing, you know, Alluvium's done it. They've dropped alphas and betas. Star Alice has dropped alpha and betas. Midnight, what was it? Midnight or 12? Dead Drop. Dead Drop by Dr. Yeah. Disrespect is dropping alphas and betas as well. So I love that. I love being a part of the process versus just playing the game when it launches. I think
more money that I faded, I think it's by cool. The way.
Generational wealth just faded immediately.
I minted the thing for $50. And at the time I was like, this is a no-brainer. Why is everybody not minting this thing? And nobody talked about it for like a year. And I was like, well, I guess Dr. Disrespect just put his name on it and rug. So I like kind of gave up hope, and it had a little pump, and I sold it at like 0.25 or something on that pump. I felt so good about it. I was like, all right, cool. I got out of this rug. It wasn't like 2 weeks later, like Dr. Disrespect like tweeted about it. They had like a convention, like all this other stuff happened. The thing pumped to like 0.8. I don't know what it's at right now. I haven't really looked back, but yeah. Oh, they had the game. They had Dead Drop the game, like drop for like people to play, whether you had it or didn't have, like whether you owned the Genesis or didn't own the Genesis. So yeah, all that was fun.
By the way, did you see that Cryptoys visiting Mattel again? Like, I thought that was kind of alpha there. A little bit of an alpha there. So it's going to be interesting to see what they drop. Obviously, Mattel has a huge book of IP that they could do. So I don't know what they're mad about, but they did just say they're visiting Mattel. Cool stuff there. So cool stuff on that end.
Yeah, there's some NFT projects and really cool things this week. I still hold my Gutter clone, even though like the Gutter cats are like... not doing great, but I will always be thankful for the Gutter Cats, because the Gutter Cats is actually how I got my meme list, white list.
All right, Chris, give us a 411 on this one here. All right, let's skip over to, we're gonna skip back.
No, I was talking about Gutter Cats. I'm about the Gutter Cats.
All right, well, let's skip to BRC20. I got that pulling up.
It's breaking.
Well, you got this one. You got the alpha on the news scoop on MXRC token. This one was like super hyped BRC20 token. You know, it was supposed to be generational wealth for all of us. And what happened on this one, man?
Yeah, it just was heavily botted. That's to be expected. Like, there's going to be bots in every field. I think, I didn't attend the entire, like, space. I was breaking it down. But what it looks like to me is the person who was actually behind launching it just didn't hire enough, like, devs or hire the right people in order to, like, make it more safe of a launch. So they basically just didn't put the right parameters in place. Now, with that being said, you're never going to prevent bots 100%. That's just part of the way this digital world is. But you can take measures, you know, to be able to do it. Like, you can, there's a lot of solutions that you could do. It would just make it a lot harder for the average person to do it. All that being said, it got heavily botted. It really sucks for this one because, like, everybody, okay, so first off, like, personally, I was out of town that entire day, so I didn't have a chance to mint anyways, and I wasn't about to like be on my phone and try to do it. But people missed OXBT, so this was their next big shot because it's the most hyped BRC20 token since then. And so they waited and waited. They grinded for whitelist. They waited for public. And then when they try to go for public, their money spent, but they never got anything back. And that's because somebody actually botted the token launch and are the public mint. and they got a huge amount of supply, and these people never got their token. Now, to my knowledge, they got refunded on that like a transaction, but you know, it still kind of sucks because like you're waiting for your first BRC20 cook, and you probably, if you're like me, you plan your whole day around that stuff, man. I set alarms like an hour before. I make sure like my kids are taken care of. I make sure like I got my work out of the way. Like there's a lot you have to do at this stage of life in order to prepare to go for one of these launches, you know. Like some people have the luxury of just not having to do.
This just did. SEC Chair Gary Gensler says crypto is all hucksters, fraudsters, and scam artists. Wow. Shots fired over the bow.
That was so an hour ago. I think I liked that like an hour ago. That's
anyways,
like 2 days.
Maybe somebody in the audience listening to the replay or on Twitter, maybe they haven't heard of that. Because an hour is not that long ago.
What did he say? Anyways,
he said crypto is all hucksters, fraudsters, and scam art. By the way, who used hucksters? Like, what is this, like 1938? Anyways, fraudsters and scam, like, we have serious founders, builders, and algo bags. Some of the most intelligent people in the world building on crypto. So, anyways, I guess, what does that make him? You know, maybe he missed the boat. Maybe he missed Algorand years ago when he was talking.
He didn't miss it, bro. He was trying to pump it. He was trying to pump Algorand since he got into it.
Maybe he faded himself.
Also saw that he applied to be an advisor at one of these like large crypto companies back in 2019 as well. I forgot which one it was, but it might have been Binance actually, which was just full circle to like what just happened. Yeah, dude, I don't know. It sucks because like even if he gets out, I'm not convinced that somebody like just as bad will like replace them. It's kind of just like believe it or not, the system's not in favor for crypto. So yeah, I don't even know, man. And call me a skeptic, but like I also don't know if he's just the face behind like a lot of other people trying to push that narrative higher up.
Yeah. All right, let's switch back to VR. I just wanted to touch on this one again. Since the titles Apple Headset, Web3 Games, Ordinals, and Degen.Alpha. Alpha. Look at this one. Have you heard of this one, Chris? Wilder World. They got like these like super high graphics, you know, like super high end graphics, characters and avatars and all kinds of stuff in their world.
I've only seen it once. Slumdog Millionaire, which I had a really interesting thing with him recently.
Oh, God. No, yeah. He's like Voldemort. We don't mention his name.
Okay, dude, I front ran him so hard and it felt so good. But anyways, back to this. I saw somebody shilling this to him and like the which NFTs should I buy, even though he doesn't really care, he just wants your engagement.
Yeah, so this one is an actual, like they're pretty legit here. So it's not surprised if you do see those pop up in people's tweets, because what they're building is like an actual metaverse, and these are just the characters here. So they have like all kinds of cosmetics. Like, look at this. This is super insane graphics. Good there. Shoes,
bro. You need to pin some of this to the Twitter spaces. So Twitter
Well, I think you would wear those shoes, honestly. I've seen your Pumas. They look like moon shoes. So I think you might be able to wear those pretty well.
I should be getting this soon. I need to rep them, bro.
Yeah. So they have this like whole, like you can use VR here. Even shows his dog has a VR headset on, and they have like pets. Look at that, like the insane graphics on that thing. And they have what's called Wilder World, or it's like kind of like, it looks like Miami. So you can race cars. Like they're actually really funny too. They're not afraid to troll online. So if you do see them trolling on Twitter, don't be surprised. But it is a kind of a lower, it's like a low market cap type token. And I think because Metaverse had such a bad stigma for a while, for like the past year. But this one's definitely one to watch out for. They partnered up with like Alluvium. You can see like this dude running around in his garage with some of these like cool cars.
I'm going to pin
it. It's like penthouse, kind of sweet.
Don't worry, Twitter.
They also have like racing. So you can race your cars and do all kinds of fun stuff in there. I don't know if I have footage of that, but it's probably on their website.
Those look like my Pumas.
Anyways. Yeah, those are some moon shoes, bro.
Same color scheme.
They're perfect for you. Moon boy shoes.
Ayo.
Yo, I'm kidding. So that one's a cool one in terms of the metaverse, like players out there versus what I've seen. You know, I've seen some pretty low quality ones too. Let's see, it's up almost 1% today, I guess. I don't know. It's pumped the past like month, I think. We can see Will's kicks. Look at this bird. It looks like Moltres from Pokemon. Does that not? Look at that. There's your shoes right there. There's your pink shoes. Here's the racing scene. And it cuts to a penthouse. I don't know.
Dang, bro. Is this sponsored by them? You're showing this pretty hard.
Well, the reason why I say all this is because I'm actually pretty excited about mixed reality. I'm just showing you different showcases of different possibilities. One was a guy piloting in Star Citizen, which is a Web 2 game, which maybe Star Atlas could go in that direction. And Paul interviewed one of the founders over at Star Atlas. So you might see a video dropping over there, a little bit of alpha there. But I don't know. I'm actually pretty excited about it because it to me, this is like we're so early that we could see iterations upon all this technology be built to smaller, you know, form factors like glasses and stuff like that. And we're already seeing that. So I don't know. I think it's cool.
It is cool, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm obviously joking about that. I think it's an interesting play to be thinking about the future of AR and VR and then like deciding which projects you want to get involved with. Like if you think it's going to succeed, then it would probably be ideal for you to leverage yourself in that position. Whereas if you're not, if you don't care as much about VR and AR, then, you know, maybe don't buy things that are solely like focused on AR and VR.
Yeah.
Totally. I still have mixed feelings about it. Like for sure. Cause, I don't know.
K-Collections, what's going on? K-Collections, we got Superstar Money in the chat. Yo, what's going on? What's going on?
Dang, she asked a question. You just glance right over it.
Well, you kept talking, bro.
It was, where'd it go?
It's right here. I'm waiting on you to finish your
spiel. If we're gonna buy the new Apple glasses. I don't know. I'm gonna have to wait until the time gets closer. Probably not. But
I'm not. We'll see. Not Apple. If anything, I'll go HTC. They already have Viveverse, which is their metaverse that already supports NFTs. They already have Web3 standards built into their headset. And they already have the, I'm going to pull it up on the screen here, Chris. But yeah, you can see like they already have like the HTC XR Elite, which is pretty, has the same, the same chip as the MetaQuest 3. So this is like kind of like the state-of-the-art kind of headset without the expensive price tag. And you get the benefits of Web3 and NFTs already kind of like built on. You can see the Viveverse. This already came out before Vivi. I didn't know that until, you know, like a couple years ago either. So, you know, if you're new to this, then so this is something that you might put on your radar. But you can see they have like a marketplace, like all kinds of stuff already built in. It's actually really nice. So far, I think they only have Polygon NFTs, but it's still pretty cool to see them support it. I'm obviously assuming that they'll support more as time goes on, but I could see myself buying this one before I do the Apple. But long term, Apple lowers their price point. I'd be more than happy to buy Apple.
Yeah, I pinned one of the vibes to the top. I think it was the same one that you're showing to the top of the Twitter spaces, just so people can kind of get an idea. It looks more comfortable than the Apple headset. The Apple headset's just so bulky.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It's just if I'm at home. But, you know, I do like glasses. Like I saw that you can actually disconnect the headband from the HTC headset and you can convert them into like where they look like glasses. And I could see myself actually using that more on a day-to-day basis, and they have a 2-hour battery life. I'm like, I'm not going to use my headset for more than 2 hours. Like I'm going to do it for like 30 minutes, an hour maybe, and then set those puppies down and go back to my computer. So for me, that's what I like personally, what I'd use it for. Some people use it for gaming, MetaQuest. That's a big gaming one with the controllers and all that stuff. So.
Yeah. My spiel earlier was just, it's not that I'm not bullish on like AR and VR technology. Like I obviously think it's going to be awesome, but I personally care more for the other aspects of NFTs, like ownership and like other forms of utility. My mind's going to blank right now, but like all the other like reasons that we like care about NFTs, I'm more on those being access to like certain groups, access to certain people. Token gated events, like all that type of stuff is like what excites me about NFTs. not necessarily just the VR and AR stuff, which, I mean, it makes sense, like, why people would care about that. And it could, like, be a huge value proposition. But for me, it's just, like, even, like, Vivi, like, I think, like, the collectibles in AR is really cool. And I think a lot of people have used that. Like, even my dad, like, he's had the app, and he's, like, had some of his collectibles, like Jurassic Park, like, in AR, and, like, took a picture of it. And that's really cool. It's just not something I myself do frequently. Like, I don't pull out Vivi every day and, like, look at my collectibles in AR. It's just not, like, my thing. And I don't know if it ever will be my thing. But it's okay. It's other people's thing. Like, so, like, I guess just for me personally, I kind of focus on other areas. But, like, I get why people, like, are excited about that.
Yeah, to me, it's, like, bullish when I start seeing the lines being blurred between physical and digital. That's where what I think of the metaverse, when I think of metaverse, I think of, you know, what Amazon's going to do when they roll out their NFT marketplace. They're probably going to do digital. Like, that's something we've talked about before on the channel and in the podcast. And, you know, when you're able to redeem, like, you buy a jacket, you get it in real life, but you also have a physical or a digital jacket for your avatar. BMW is already integrating Ready Player Me avatars into their cars. And then they have over 8,000 integrations. Like, to me, this is a value proposition, because if I can mimic what I'm already doing in the physical world, and I can also just do it in the digital, then it starts making sense for me. And if I'm in a game, for example, and I'm able to buy merch in the game without having to leave the experience, or maybe have more fun, and then maybe I can cash out, and then that's also tangible to me as well. And that's where what I start thinking when I think of the metaverse is the lines being blurred between physical, digital, and gaming. To me, it's not like VR or not. It's these games being cross-compatible, whether it's gaming or a metaverse or whatever, but you can also play it. You can also look at it in VR. You can use it on a computer. And that's like some of the groundbreaking stuff that these engine builders are doing, like Unity and Unreal Engine, NVIDIA, is they're making all these experiences cross-compatible, which I like to see.
Yeah. That's cool, man. I get it. I guess, look, man, I'm like a 70-year-old trapped in a 28-year-old's body, man. It's like, I feel like I'm already, like, this is going to be a non-popular opinion, but I'm already, like, overstimulated enough with, like, the way tech is right now as somebody who's, like, completely immersed in it. When I'm not, like, at my computer or playing a game or what, or on my phone, like, I want to be somewhere, like, actually be there. Like, I want to be standing in grass. I don't want to be, like, have a VR headset.
Yeah, you're a boomer, bro.
Looking around and seeing grass.
You're a Web3 boomer.
I don't want to go to the ocean in VR. I want to go to the ocean. So call me old fashioned, but, like, I'm already, like, as far as tech goes, like, I'm already immersed enough. So
yeah.
I just can't see myself for hours and hours traveling the world in virtual reality or whatever.
I feel you on that, man. But what I think about that, though, is a little bit differently. Because, like, when I think of the metaverse, again, when I talk about the lines being blurred, you could use an augmented reality experience. If you're going to the ocean, maybe you, like, again, you already have a cell phone in your pocket wherever you go. So to a degree, you're already, like, using technology like that. You already have it on you. And to me, it's just a matter of time before somebody comes along and you can just wear glasses like you use your phone, and it's easier, simpler, and you don't need to use your phone anymore. And to me, I think that's going to be what to look out for in the future. Now, I don't think that the hardware is there yet. Obviously, I think we have a ways to go. But if I'm going to the ocean, maybe I want directions on a heads-up display or a crash avoidance detection system built into either my glasses or my AR, or maybe even my AI. So there's, like, a lot of, like, use cases I could see that's beneficial for, again, blurring the lines between real life and digital.
Are you going to get your wife to, like, get a little water gun and, like, squirt you when you're, like, in the experience? That way it feels like the ocean water, like, is droplets are, like, hitting you in the face, and then get somebody to get a fan next to you and feel like you feel
no cool. So
you can stand on this, like, little, like, sand stream. Pit in your house. That way it feels like you're grounding and your feet are touching.
I'll stream
the sand.
It. No. I'll stream it, and then I'll hook it up to, like, my super chats and super donations. And then based on that, they can squirt me. And then, like, you know what I mean? So, like, if I get a super chat with, like, $5, and then a water gun, like, squirts me, then
that's a little genius, bro. We're going to have somebody that watch this and it's going to go do that. It's like the TikTok, like, sleeping, like, wake me up, or, like, play, donate this much to like play the horn to wake me up. You're gonna see that soon. It's gonna be like a and it's gonna get more and more extreme because that's what humans do. They take something simple and they make it way too freaking extreme. And it's gonna I don't even want to like play with that thought, but it's gonna like start getting like painful or weird or whatever. But we'll stay with the innocence of just like, hey, you know, donate a dollar and this thing squirts me.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I'm excited about it all. I mean, technology is going to progress either way, whether we like it or not. You know, Amazon already has digital twins of their warehouse. NVIDIA's helped them create to help them manage logistics. So again, we're already going to see like this digital representations of everything. And the lines kind of being blurred long term. So I don't know. That's what I think is going to happen, play out. Chris is against headsets in the metaverse, so we haven't convinced him.
Whoa. I've been way more immersed than most of the people listening to this. I just want to let you know. Like, I'll share a story that I've barely shared with anybody. I was having fun one day, okay?
And you get so immersed.
I was lit. And I decided that it'd be cool to do a sleep paralysis experiment. Well, I'm not making this up. What's that?
I have no idea what that is.
You don't know what that is?
No.
All right. So people from like different cultures and beliefs like believe that like they'll like wake up in the middle of the night and like they won't be able to move. And it's like they can see and hear and feel everything around them, but they can't move.
Oh yeah.
And some people report it as like having a demon. This is so weird to say on stream. Some people report it as like having a demon sit on your chest. So I thought it'd be a good idea to get, you know, to get lit and then to put a VR on and to have that experience, you know, like I wanted that experience because like, you know, I'm not a very like, I don't like believing like ghosts and stuff. So like, I was just like, you know, I want to like feel this or whatever. Yeah, man, that was wild. That was definitely an immersive experience, man. The experience, I was like in the bed and it felt real and I could hear my parents arguing, you know, and then like around me was like these like little like critters like making noises. And like it was basically like going through like a haunted house, but like virtually, you know, or whatever. And it was a heck of an experience, man. So I have a Quest. Like I've used it for a bunch of different stuff. I'm not against VR AR. I just like when it comes to like replacing experience, I call me old fashioned on that. Like, and then not just when it comes to replacing experience, but like I'm pretty satisfied on like just 2D stuff. Like 2D gaming, like I really love it, and like I feel like my capacity to love something more is reached. So it's that type of stuff. It's like you know, maybe I'll be blown away by like the new tech, but as of right now, I couldn't see myself. Well, one, I don't have the time, but if I had the time, I couldn't see myself putting the amount of time I have into like Call of Duty and Rocket League and stuff like that into like a virtual reality game, just because like that's just not my personality.
Yeah. So different strokes for different folks. So interesting take on it. I don't have enough experience in like VR to say, but I think I'm more excited about, again, the blurring of it. You know, let's say if I jump into my BMW car, it's the avatar I set. It's wearing the NFT clothes I gave it. Like, it looks like me. It's like ran by AI, smart AI. And I can just tell my car where to go, like take me to the store and it takes me there. I think like these are all these. Yeah, but I think these technologies are merging and compounding on each other. And I haven't seen it. What are you talking about?
Like Tesla, you can already program it to like bring you places, and it can. Like, and
but you can you have to like, program it though. You have to program it. So I'm talking about more on the lines of like AI. So yeah, Tesla's like on the forefront for sure, but we're not at a level where, you know, the lines are getting blurred, where you can just tell your car like certain things and it just tell you back like ChatGPT. I don't think we're at that level, but I think at some point we'll get there.
I don't trust, like, again, old fashioned, man, but like, I don't trust my car enough to have its own intelligence. Like if my life is on the line, like, you know, and maybe technology will get there. It just sounds like a dystopia waiting to happen. Like, and I'm not like a doomsday prep or whatever, but like, it just, the idea that my car has like algorithms that it can
hashtag
run,
doomsday
get me to places. I just don't, it's gonna, I don't know if I'll ever trust that in my lifetime. Like, I don't know. You feel different? You would trust that? You would trust like just giving your car some prompts and then just like, you know,
I think it's there? So my opinion is different. You know, I've seen a movie or two, played a game or two where AI has been the topic of it. And I don't know, like, in my opinion, it just depends on the AI model and how people train that model. If it's like, you know, giving, I don't know, like, obviously with ChatGPT, we have like examples of how it reacts to certain situations, and like they have to go in and like patch it and do all types of things. It just depends, you know, it really just depends. If like, if I'm just going down the street and I don't want to drive and I'm like streaming, like, of course I'm going to use AI. Like, I don't care. Like, take me down the street. Like, it's not like, what's the AI going to do? Drive me to behind a dark alley? And, you know, it's just not going to happen. But I just don't see it. Now, if somebody could hack in, that's a different story. Somebody could already do that to your devices as is. I think a hacker is more the danger than anything than an AI that's going to be programmed for like simple routines. So it just depends on the AI. Now, it also depends on who develops it. Like, if somebody like nefarious develops this AI, or I think they're nefarious, I'm not going to use it. It's simple. But there's just too many, like, people are going to develop all kinds of different AI models. And that's where I see it just going to depend on the model, just like it depends on the car you buy. And I think that's where the future
hackers
is.
Will also use AI technology, though. Like, they already are. Like, it's, I don't know if any of you have seen the chart, but like, to brute force a password right now, like, that's under like 7 characters, it's so easy. Like, it's kind of insane. But all that to say,
so Chris is Chris has labeled himself as an old man, boomer, Web3 guy.
Like, I've labeled myself
like an ordinal goose.
Nothing, but I will
say,
Chris
is an ordinal goose.
Despite everything I just said, I'm very tech oriented. Like, I use AI like every single day. I'm constantly exploring new AI like technologies and platforms, like used for content and to like make my life easier. I do have a Quest headset that I've probably put quite a few hours in, so I'm not speaking this from an outside in. Like, I'm in tech, and like, that's what I do. I don't know. You know, I'm also like kind of playing devil's advocate too. Like, you know, we're talking about mass adoption, we're talking about like the way people think, you know. Like, I don't know, we'll see how it plays out. But all that to say, like, yeah,
I think people are just too into convenience for them to care. That's my thoughts on it. Now, yeah, we could have safeguards in place. Maybe there's like AI driven, you know, malware protection, like AI driven, you know, detection bots, AI this, AI that. Like, everything's going to have some kind of integration. The future is just so like, it's so wild. Like, nobody knows. Like, that's the thing at the end of the day. So it's hard to say, you know, we're all going to have to navigate it together. I think these conversations are cool because you think you're playing devil advocate, you do have solid, super solid points. But I just see society going in the convenience route, like they always have, like a drive-through for McDonald's, getting them a cafe, hashtag McCafe, only $1 at McDonald's.
Look, bro,
what I think will happen.
Here's what I'm going to do on record. I'm going to build something really cool that's going to change the way normies view AI.
Can you pin my McDonald's cup to the tweet?
I will. I'm going to build something really cool in AI. I'm going to retire. I'm going to let all of you youngins enjoy the technology that I'm monetizing somehow off of my product that I built. And I'm going to be grounding barefooted in the grass, fishing on the beach, doing whatever. I'll stay in touch with the real ones out there. And that's it. No headset, no tech. Just gonna.
I bet you'll use Apple Maps, Google Maps, and you know, like if a thunderstorm comes, it's gonna be like an AI detection, like, hey, don't get struck by lightning, and you'll be like happy while you're fishing, but still using AI. Oh crap! I think did Twitter Space go down? My app just crashed.
I think you went down on Twitter. Maybe I think you went down on Twitter Spaces, but. I don't know. Yo, somebody throw an emoji up if Twitter Spaces is still going, if you can hear me right now.
Yeah, I'm going to try to jump back in and read.
I'm not seeing any emojis. Okay. You just wrecked us, Kyle, but it's all right.
It's actually 3 o'clock on the computer. So I think we could call it good there. I think that's a super interesting discussion. I think we should have more of those. I like it. I'm not like for or against anything you said. I think you have great points. And we should have this talk again about AI. I love it. Deep discussion. And shout out to everybody on Twitter. We're also streaming on YouTube right now. Please give us share this if you liked it. Sub, hit the bell, do all that fun stuff. If you enjoy and you like these types of conversations, we'll be over on Chris's channel next week at Chris Coffee. And you can also search us up on YouTube Music at, and they are featuring podcasts now, and we're searchable on podcasts on YouTube at DGen Dads. That's all you have to search, pretty much. And we're the first ones to show up because we're the coolest like that. We are ordinal dads. Maybe we would be a POAP, but instead of like, it's not a polygon NFT, it's just going to be, maybe it's going to be an ordinal. Maybe we do DGen Dad ordinals.
I might know ordinal a guy dad. Or two that can make that happen.
And maybe we'll do the manifold.
A fun comment for this, if you're watching this afterwards or if you want to come back to it, would be, are you team Kyle that all of this technology is leading to this utopia of to bring humans joy and happiness? Or are you team Chris that this is going to lead to a dystopia and your AI
don't
car,
me into the corner, bro. I don't exactly.
AI car is going to wreck itself because it hates
so
you.
So have you seen District 13? I think it is, where it's like utopian, but only for the select few. Have you seen that?
I haven't.
All right. So it's really cool. It's called District 13. I think it is. And yeah, it's like there's like these super rich, wealthy people living on this like orb thingy or like halo looking thing in like not outer space, but like it's like inner space basically on Earth. And they're like able to cure their body of like diseases by just like jumping on this like bed, and it like heals them instantly. But all the poor people are like down living in the slums on Earth. And like it's all about like escaping, like this like aliens trying to escape planet Earth, and they're like trying to hunt this like alien down. And he lives in District 13, so hence the name. I feel like we're already there, like in terms of that, like only the select things that at the pinnacle of humanity is only good, like it's only affordable to the select few. I think we're already there. I think it's just technology wise we're gonna get there too. Yeah, it's just that's another topic too. That's like an hour long topic we could talk about and chop it
up.
Is it
the Hunger Games based on like District 13 or something?
Well, I don't know. I mean, who knows? The dystopian stuff always kind of crosses over a little bit.
Sure. Well, that's how like crypto, and I know we can conclude soon, but like crypto does get political. Like, absolutely. Like the very foundation that crypto is built on is like very like, I mean, the whole like thought of decentralization, and the thought it's kind of like matches this way of like libertarian. Like, I'm not gonna like put it in a box, you know, but like just like being independent or not being dependent on like a central entity. Like, a lot of this stuff does get political at the end of the day, and I think that's why people get passionate, you know, because there's politics involved, there's money involved, there's all the things that make people happy or mad, you know. It's like, so there's a reason that people get so triggered and so emotional in this space. We've all been there, you know, is because like the deepest roots of what we believe in our lives, like, are in it, you know, somewhere or another. So, but that's the stuff like, you know, you don't tweet about, and you don't talk about a lot in spaces or on lives, because like that doesn't get likes, right? You know, we'll just stick with the general GMs.
GM, baby.
GM.
That's a good note to end it on. I think that was, we went deep, and I love that. I love that we went deep into something there. It's just very interesting. It's part of the podcast, which will be on next week. Chris is going to the beach or something. I don't know. I don't want to.
I am. It's very fitting.
Yeah, literally. So I might go running around the track today. Actually,
are you actually running around the track, or are you just going to put on a headset and pretend that?
You know, if I had a headset. And
pretend you're running around the track while snacking on a Big Mac.
Well, if I had a headset or like AR that showed me my target goals and like what my heart rate needs to be on without having to hold goofy stuff, that's a use case that makes me healthier. But I'm bullish on those types of use cases. I'm not bullish on like the dystopian stuff. So
a decade from now, you're going to be chilling in your chair. You're going to have a VR headset on. You're going to have something hooked up to your heart.
That McDonald's, heart just McDonald's, yeah, fries McDonald's and a Big Mac.
Yeah.
Chris is voting for me to be like obese, guys. Well, I don't know what's up with that, but.
Bro, you've never watched Black Mirror or Robots, Death, and More, and it really shows.
All right, we really got to end it. We really got to end it here. Chris, final words.